I'm going to ask Amanda to update us on the dollars and looking at the sheet that was handed out in our package this morning, and ask Amanda to give us the updated figures now after the motion and amendment that passed.
Amanda, please.
Mr. Chair, members, the revised amount for PA04 Northern Tallgrass Prairie is $3,411,000. The additional $657,000 for WA01. The additional $657,000 brings the total amount to $6,307,000. For HRE01, the additional $657,000 brings the total to $2,632,000. And for the CPL program, the additional $1,974,000 brings the total to $9,412,000.
Anyone not get that or questions with regard to that? Thank you, Amanda.
Mr. Chair, I have a question in regards to Subdivision 3 Forest, page 3, Project Fias and Boy, Jack Pine Forest, Crow Wing. That's the next item before us. Let me just introduce that and then we'll move to item 8 on the draft language. And then your question is?
Mr. Chair, I thought there was some discussion. It's a Minnesota Deer Hunters proposal. And I've encouraged page three, Mr. Chair, Subdivision 3 Forest, paragraph B as in boy. In the second line, it's an agreement with the Deer Hunters Association. And I thought we at one time, and they testified, they're interested in working with NGOs specifically. They mentioned they've done some preliminary work with Conservation Fund. And I think it would be beneficial for this, I guess it's probably already on the record, I'm not supportive of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association holding the land in fee. I'm in favor of the project, but not with them being the fee holder. And I'm thinking that the language could be tweaked, that it says something about, and I thought I saw language earlier, cooperation with or working with NGOs or conservation funds, that would allow, as this project moves through the process over the next 4 or 5 months, it would develop further and I think be able to become a consensus project. So I'm not sure if staff has some thoughts.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, we did have, in an early draft, we did have, in cooperation with the Conservation Fund, that language was removed from the appropriation language simply because I was told that it might be problematic for DNR as they go through the contracts. I'm not exactly sure why that would be problematic.
Mr. Chair, maybe Ms. Taylor, is there a way that we could put some language in there that would allow more flexibility as we move forward to the legislative process to note that we're looking for them to be working with the NGOs? Could it say something like with conservation, or be some flexible language? The legislature takes a recommendation of this body quite strongly, and I would like some flexibility as we move forward in this. I don't know, between Ms. Taylor.
Mr. Chair, members, if the council wished, they could add language that would either require them or just explicitly state that they may work with the GAO wasn't able to name them or leave that open.
Mr. Chair, could I, as other questions come up, could the two counsels, Ms. Taylor and Mr. Knopf, work up some language and then bring it back as we have discussion over the next time period? Maybe the two of them together can propose some language.
Member Herbert.
I'm confused because the issue that you're bringing up is who's going to own the land in the end, not who's going to do the transaction. The conservation fund, and Steve is here, but I don't think they're long-term landholders. They're more transactional folks. And so the question that you're asking is who is the end body that will hold the land, not who's going to be involved in the transactions, I think.
Mr. Chair, to that point, Ms. Taylor has worked with me long enough, she probably couldn't understand what I'm trying to say. And I think the language that she would come back with, I have not had a conversation with you about this yet, or Mr. Lajewski, I never had a conversation with him ahead of time. So, I would like the flexibility, to remember Hartwell's point, I would like the flexibility enough to come back that maybe the recommendation would be in the end that the fee holder of the land not be the deer hunters. Maybe Conservation Fund and working with deer hunters comes up that it's Cass County or it's Nature Conservancy or something like that. I guess I would want the flexibility that the absolute fee holder not be deer hunters potentially. It may be. That may be the best one. I'm just not sure. Their expertise is not in holding land up to this point.
I guess maybe we ask deer hunters to.
Mr. Chair, before Mr. Engelwald speaks for the deer hunters, Representative McNamara, just to my comment before, I remember the potential problematic piece with that language, as I mentioned, for administration was just that there's no appropriation at this point in the accomplishment plan that goes directly to the conservation fund within this project. They would be a contractor or some other way with the NFL, with NDHA, and that's why that language was removed initially. So just to clarify that.
Mr. Chair, members, for the record, Craig Engelwald, Executive Director of Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. We certainly are open to working, and we will be working with partners in the conservation community to make this the best it can be. We've stated all along that our preferred approach would be if a county land department is capable of managing and does manage land, that would be the best landing place for it. But there can be instances when that won't work, and the best thing for that land is to be preserved as good habitat. And so whether it's NDHA or a land trust, setting up that so that it could be held by a 501c3 and the county is paid taxes is the goal. It doesn't have to be us. I would say that we are very capable of doing that. We do hold some land. We are set up to do conservation. We do a number of the CPL projects. So we aren't wed to it being us, and we would look at other opportunities and are not seeking to hold that land specifically for us, but we think that option needs to be on the table to effectuate the best conservation possible. My goal would be just not to be precluded from having NDHA or another 501c3 from holding land.
Questions for Mr. Engelwald? Representative McNamara.
Maybe I should put on the record, but I already have. I'm good.
Member Wilkins.
Mr. Engelwald, MDHA has been involved in projects across the state with helping purchase land and then turning it over often to the DNR. And I'm wondering, could you give us, and I think maybe at a prior meeting you may have given us some data on how many acres or projects have been involved that MPHA has been involved in habitat by act, actively pursuing land and then getting that into the hands of the DNR?
We've had a number of acquisitions through the CPL program. I believe it was $1.3 million last year, $1.4 million the year before. 1 year was 19 parcels. The next year was 9. And that's been in cooperation with our other habitat partners, such as the National Wild Turkey Federation, Pheasants Forever. Those are the matching partners that we find, Rockamon Elk Foundation, et cetera. And we often, the projects come from the DNR, from an area wildlife manager who has an opportunity to expand a WMA, and we work with them to do that. So, for instance, now in the funding for the upcoming year, we, I believe, brought in 4 projects. It looks like one of them might not make it, and this funding that's been discussed today could be key to having one more probably go forward. And so we were looking at, in that instance, southeast Minnesota versus Itani County, and we're prioritizing based on we internally and putting forward the project to the CPL program are making some habitat decisions based on our partners and what way the land is. So we do that. We do hold some land, not a lot. We have 120 acres in Itasca County, 40 in Otter Tail, 40 down near Wendell area. But our preferred method is to work with the partners, being DNR, being the other NGOs, and try to make the acquisition occur and protect the habitat. And we're less concerned with who holds it. We're more concerned about getting the transaction completed.
Member Wilkins?
And you had also addressed the issue of trails, and would you restate that for us at this time on your executive committee and what the decisions were on that?
Yes, we passed a resolution that we would not propose project, the Jack Pine project, being aware that there are existing forest routes that are there that have been part of the timber harvest and activities associated with it, that there is ETV use. We wouldn't ban ATV use, but we wouldn't expand it, and we would probably look at closing routes where it made sense to close them, allow for existing connectors to go through, because a lot of this land would be adjacent to county-administered land or state-administered land, and we'd be working with those land managers to see what the lay of the land is and where their connectors are, etc., but we would not expand use beyond what was there.
Further questions for Mr. Engel?
I just wanted to state for the record that I appreciate you don't want to expand any routes, but allowing them isn't wildlife habitat. And this is about money, about wildlife habitat. I will continue to support the project, but I think it's wrong for us to do this. I don't think we should be funding ATV trails with this money for wildlife habitat.
I guess I would just make a comment that I thought I heard Mr. Engel say that those were forest roads used for timber harvesting, and that they're allowed to have ATV use. You may need those forest roads in the future to continue to manage the forest. ATVs are going to use them. If we're not making an ATV trail, we have a forest road for management purposes.
Mr. Chair, Member Hart, well, this would be akin to what's permitted under the Blandon easement. There was existing use there. There were specific parameters put in that easement that contained that, restricted it to a certain level of where it was, identified it as we would propose to do with inventory routes. So it would be akin to that project and how the land would be managed.
Member Harvest?
It is one thing to use a road for access. It's existing. It's another thing to allow that existing road to be used by ATV for recreational purposes. There's a huge difference between saying we're going to have access for management or timber harvesting, versus we're just going to let the road be accessible for recreation with ATV. And I think there is a differentiation. I do think it goes to a question of the purpose of these funds being for wildlife habitat, and recreational trails are not wildlife habitat for you.
Member Scherer.
Well, I think we need to keep our eye on the big picture here. To be concerned about trails in this project compared to what is threatening this timber, land clearing, potatoes, groundwater, on and on and on, in my mind, take priority over trails. I would also say trails can be closed, and that wouldn't be a dumb idea either. The land managers there certainly within their right to close trails if they don't need them for whatever. So the trails don't concern me as much as my friend David, but I'm more concerned about what happens to that land up there, and I don't want to get in a knot over trails in this case.
Further questions for Ms. Bingwall?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Can I ask the Executive Director to comment with regard to the draft bill language?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of things to draw the Council's attention to. Let me page through just to make sure. I think that Subdivision 5 is the first one where I want to draw your attention. Page 5. Subdivision 5A on the habitat. DNR has... made a mistake. Last year, we had the same project, or the same basic project last year. This is an extension of this, another phase. And I inadvertently took the initial language last year, legislatively approved language, and that legislatively approved language actually included a section that allows this project to acquire interests in land in permanent conservation easements under Minnesota Forest for the Future program pursuant to Minnesota statute in section 84.66. So that language will be corrected. That will be changed. I just let you know in this next draft. The next thing I'd like to draw your attention to is actually, we'll probably come back to the technical evaluation panel, but if you can go to page 8, Subdivision 10, there's the rim buffers. As I mentioned before, this is just a quick, just to make sure you know. Previously, I mentioned that there would be a potentially some rider language that would clarify past appropriation language for a buffers program. And this does that. Thank you, Janelle, very much for these drafts. Basically, what it does is, on behalf of, with research as well as with MMB, there was the concern that the language wasn't quite clear enough in stating that when easements or conservation easements are purchased, that those lands are, these funds are also utilized, can be utilized, I should say, for restoration. And as we know, where they purchase the easement and they restore the property. So this just clarifies that in each of the past appropriations as well as this current one. The language has been changed also so that there is no misunderstanding. Everybody's clear, and it's out front. The next one, the first special session, Chapter 2, you can see it's right below that. It's regarding protecting the pine land sands aquifer forest project, or forest phase 2. DNR had asked that, and I had mentioned it previously also, but I want to direct your attention to it. There's one word that changes in the previous year's appropriation, and that is to add in the county name of Hubbard. So we cast Hubbard and Wadena counties. And the reason was they had some sensitive and not only sensitive biologically, but sensitive time-wise properties coming available in Hubbard County that would fit within this appropriation nicely. The next one is, of course, regarding the Northern Tallgrass Fir Natural Wildlife Refuge Acquisition Phase. And as you see, it says Phase 6. Last year, that was Phase 5, and that is the sole change to correct that phase number. It should be Phase 6 and not Phase 5. So that's the only thing that's underlined there. That's the only change. Next one is for the Minnesota laws. Well, you can see below that. subdivision 5H. It's for the, I think there's only one change in this as well. I think here it is. Almost at the bottom, the fifth line up from the bottom, this appropriation is available until June 30th, 2018 is what it was. It should have been 19. That was something missed last year, so we're just correcting that. And on the next page, page 10, this is the last one at this point. And you can see it's restoration and enhancement evaluation. And this is Joe and Janelle and Sandy worked on this while I was sick. So maybe Joe, you might comment, and possibly Janelle has comments as well.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, so we previously had discussed doing enhancement and restoration evaluations, and the language there proposed allows the council the flexibility to do restoration and enhancement evaluations. As it's written before, it really only allows, or it mostly focuses on restoration evaluations, and we've seen that a sizable amount of money that's been appropriated has gone to enhancement projects, and there's actually more enhancement projects and more enhancement acres that have been completed in restoration. So this, to us, gives the council the flexibility to be able to decide how many easement evaluations they want to do and how many restoration evaluations they want to do. It still requires that we spend the required amount of money on evaluations. I think it just gives the council the ability to decide how to break it out.
One more comment. Mr. Rodolfo, also in under subdivision 6, technical evaluation team, the correct change was made there as well, right? On page 7. It says to conduct up to 15 restoration and enhancement evaluations. That would fall nicely correct within the language. Right. Thank you. Mr. Chair, those are the major changes that I have to share with the council this morning.
Okay. Three questions for the executive director with regard to those changes. All right. With those changes, the draft language is before us.
So, Mr. Chairman, would you be looking for a motion?
Yes.
To approve the bill with corrections as stated by Executive Director Johnson. And well, I was going to say that it be that we approve it and send it on to the Minnesota Legislature for approval.
And as I'm looking at the front page, the total appropriation with that's being recommended, we need to have a new total there also?
Yes. Mr. Chair, the totals will be updated, and the total would be $115,754,000. And the associated totals with the other amendments that will take place, the associated totals for each of those projects that were changed, as well as the verbiage within those necessary to
So noted, Mr. Chair.
Okay, motion by Senator Saxhog then to recommend the draft language before us with the total appropriation being $115,754,000.
Mr. Chair?
Representative McNamara.
Could I have Ms. Taylor read, I guess I would like to offer an amendment to the that project, and Ms. Taylor has some proposed language. I don't know when that board would be in order.
We're under discussion.
Senator Saxhog made a motion. I don't know if he'd be willing to pull back his motion to see if that it's not necessary. Oh, they're telling me I'm not on the right sync here, so I'm going to back off. I'm not sure where we're at.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, you can make the motion. The motion's on the table to move it, just like you would move, put a bill on the agenda in committee. And a motion to amend is always in order. So you can, he doesn't need to pull back his motion. You can just leave Senator Saxon's motion is before you, but in a motion to amend is a higher motion, and you can take that first.
And Mr. Chair, I would assume that this is a discussion, too.
Yes.
Yes. Well, could I have
more of yours?
Could I have Ms. Taylor read what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
Mr. Chair and members, if I understand Representative McNamara's intention, what he would like to do then would be after the comma, after Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, and that paragraph B and subdivision
page three.
Number B.
Okay. And where are you again?
After the comma, after Minnesota Deer Hunters Association.
In line two?
Yep.
Thank you.
Insert in cooperation with the Conservation Fund, comma.
In cooperation.
Correct. And then after the period on the third line, after Wadena County's period, insert a new sentence that reads, preference must be given to parcels that will be transferred to a government entity or non-government organization with expertise in land management area.
Can you read that last sentence again?
Sure. Preference must be given to parcels that will be transferred to a government entity or non-government organization with expertise in land management.
All right, discussion with regard to the amendment. Member Hartwell.
So, can you just clarify for me? You're specifically referring to the Conservation Fund, and I think it may be appropriate to do that, but there might be other groups that it would be good to be in cooperation with, and you're limiting it and forcing only one group to be in cooperation with in your first suggested amendment. And I'm not sure I understand why you want to name one specific group and force cooperation versus allow cooperation.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And in the end, we allow different NGOs, I guess, potentially be the fee holder. I wouldn't have any problem, Member Hartwell, if it said in cooperation with Conservation Fund and potentially other NGOs. I would certainly be okay to that. I was trying to thread the needle of the deer hunters, and I've got the deer hunters not coming down to jump and say no. They may be in stricture at some point. I like your idea. I don't know if the deer hunters would be okay with that, but I would like that if it could say Conservation Fund. And I know they've worked some with Conservation Fund already, and I want to be sure that they're allowed to work with them. I actually like that when they work with these different groups, because sometimes people are able to work with the private landowners differently. So I'm open and like what you're
saying. What happens if they want to work directly with a county who wants to do the work, or with the DNR or someone else, instead of the Conservation Fund or the Nature Conservancy or the Minnesota Land Trust or someone else? I mean, do we want it? Are you trying to force cooperation for a level of expertise, or I'm just a little unclear as to what the purpose is of that first component and what you're trying to get accomplished, and maybe I'm just not understanding.
Well, Conservation Fund has been helping, Mr. Chair and Member Hartwell, Conservation Fund has been helping them so far, and I did not want to exclude and have them not be able to have them help there. And then I wanted, as they go forward on our tour, we saw some really neat land that Nature Conservancy actually is a fee holder for down in Candiolhai County, and I want to keep that option available up north. Maybe there's some potential up there for somebody, and if they would be cooperating with others, some other NGOs, that's fine. I mean, they might work with Pheasants Forever or a local chapter of a the Elk Foundation or something. I'm fine with what you're saying. The only reason I mentioned conservation because I believe Mr. Hobbs has been helping them already, and I actually want to encourage that kind of. I'm fine if you want to broaden it. I guess I would ask if Mr. Engwall is okay if it says after Conservation Fund and other NGOs. I don't have a problem.
Or
Mr. Engwall.
Mr. Chair, Craig Engwall again. We're very open to that. In fact, the Rough Grouse Society is a partner as well. They've been working with us. Conservation Fund brings a lot of stuff to the table that they've been working with us on, and we'll be as inclusive as we can. My only concern is that we not be precluded from holding land if we're the best suited for that. We'll explore other land trusts, whoever. Again, our preference in the language I heard seems to echo our preference that if the county land department is willing to take it, that's the best place for it to go, because they're already managing tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of acres of land, and this would be the most efficient way to have conservation occur. So I haven't heard anything that concerns me. I just want to reiterate that we don't want to be precluded from holding the land, but we do want to work with those other partners and do what we can.
So the question Mr. Harwell has is just listing the Conservation Fund in itself, holding it down, and not giving you the flexibility to work with the Rough Grouse Society or others. Is that?
Yeah, as you go forward with this project, there may be some parcels which a local community might have a land person who would want to. You'd want to cooperate with. I don't want to preclude you from working with the best cooperative group that you can work with, and that's why I was concerned with naming a single entity. And I think most of your work is going to be done with the Conservation Fund, so I'm not opposed to it either. It just struck me as wrong to direct you only to work with one group.
Member two.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the way I heard that language, it would require the deer hunters to always cooperate with another organization. They could not act on their own without another organization. For instance, if a landowner wanted to sell it to the deer hunters, the language I think that I heard would prohibit that unless they were to bring in another cooperating agency. And maybe that wasn't your intent, but that's the way it sounded to me.
Ms. Taylor, can you clarify whether that's restrictive?
Mr. Chair, members, the new language would just require preference to parcels, that if there was still a good parcel to acquire, they could move forward with it.
So they could operate on their own. Okay, thank you. That's all.
Executive Director Johnson.
Nothing.
Okay. So do we want to add, Member Hartwell, do you want to add something to that conservation one and other non-government organizations? There's two sentences. Really.
Yeah, I'm only focused on the first sentence, and it's a little point. I mean, is there a need for that sentence at all, for the adjustment to the first sentence? That's the question I'm really asking, because there's nothing in this that would prohibit you, as written, from cooperating with others. And so why are we doing it? That's, I'm just confused about it.
Mr. Chair. Member Blackshear, excuse me.
Well, I think that what Representative McNamara was doing was making that recommendation based on the concerns that we voiced through this whole process about the experience, expertise for this organization to do this. And they've testified along with the Conservation Fund about working together on this. And I think it just embraces the concerns and addresses them along with something that's consistent with what they've been testifying to.
President McNamara?
Mr. Chair and members, it's what we commonly refer to as feel-good language. It really doesn't do anything.
So the amendment right now by Representative McNamara, then can you read that one more time, Ms. Taylor, both the first addition to the first sentence and the new sentence?
Mr. Chair, members, the addition to the first sentence would be after Minnesota Deer Hunters Association, comma, insert in cooperation with the Conservation Fund, comma, and then after, on the third line, after Wadena County's period, insert a new sentence that reads, preference must be given to parcels that will be transferred to a government entity or non-government organization with expertise in land management.
Member Kingston.
So would it hurt anything to just not have the in cooperation with TCF in there? So let's not have that part and just say that preference is given to government or non-government entities with land management. Does it limit it or restrict it?
Representative McNamara.
And Mr. Chair, it's already on the record that they're cooperating with Conservation Fund and Rough Grouse Society, and potentially they could cooperate with somebody else. So I think
you want to withdraw that?
I'm fine with striking what Member Kingston and Member Hartwell both striking out. That's fine.
Okay, so the first sentence addition would be removed. Member Tilley.
Okay.
And so we would just have the addition of the third sentence then as read by Ms. Taylor. That's part of your amendment. Further discussion with regard to the amendment to Subdivision 3B. Chair would then call the question on vote on the amendment. All those in favor of the motion to approve the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion is carried. The amendment is adopted.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Engel. Thank you, Representative McNamara. Further discussion with regard to the motion to recommend the draft language. Discussion. This vote requires a supermajority of 9 members in support of it, and requires a roll call vote.
Let's begin with Ms. Blackburn.
Aye.
Mr. Hartwell?
Yes.
Senator Ingebrigtsen?
No.
Ms. Kingston?
Aye.
Representative Lilly?
Aye.
Representative McNamara?
No.
Ms. Olson?
Yes.
Senator Sattar?
Yes.
Mr. Sheriff?
No.
Mr. Tilley?
Yes.
Ms. Wilkins?
Yes.
Chair Anderson?
No.
That's 8 members for yes, 4 for no.
the motion not receiving a sufficient majority, then there is not a recommendation. Member Kingston.
Those that voted no, I would request, what do you want? And detail it. You know, we never come out of this thing with everybody being 100% happy, and I don't expect to be 100% happy, but I do expect to do our job and get a bill out of here. So, what do you want to do? Our job is to get a bill. What do you object to and detail it so we can talk about it and move towards the bill?
Member Chair.
Jane, my biggest concern is that we have acted to get in the ring with the legislature. They have already voted out the White Earth Project. And I was surprised that they did that. I voted for the White Earth Project. But they took it out. And I'm not sure all the reasons. I don't know. But they took it out. And we work for the people of Minnesota, and they represent the people of Minnesota. So I was surprised to see it back in there, and I asked Senator Saxaw, what should we do? It's back in, and he said to me, I hope I'm quoting him correctly, before we bring it back before the legislature, it should be changed, because otherwise we're throwing it back in their face. And then we did that in October with basically suggesting that all of those who voted against or who took out the White Earth Amendment were racist. And I object to that coloration. And so I'm just afraid that we as a council are going to jeopardize what we've had going for all these years. If we give the legislature more opportunity to thwart what we're trying to do. We've already been through it with both parties. And I think it would be wise for us to wait until this White Earth Project is changed in some way that we could go back and suggest that the legislature approve it.
Well, we have the ability to change it. To change everything else. The only one we didn't change is Marsh Lake. Marsh Lake is the only one that's not scalable.
I know, but we haven't changed it.
So what do you want to do?
I'm not sure. What would you like to do?
You're the ones that are objecting to it. I expect you to offer an alternative.
Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, I offered an alternative. Unfortunately, it got voted down, and that would be to have it be DNR owned. I want to buy the project. I want to protect the land. And I had proposed DNR own it, and unfortunately, that did not prevail. That was my original recommendation. I put it in notes when we originally applied. It was what I suggested last year. And unfortunately, because that wasn't acceptable, the project got eliminated last year, and now we run the risk that it may not be protected. So I think I'm already on the record that I propose it to be DNR owned. I'd like to keep it flexible, that it be it's surrounded on three sides by DNR land currently. Originally, I had said in my recommendation be a WMA. I think that actually might not be the best designation. An SRA, an SRA, a state recreation area, would allow more logging that's appropriate. on this land and allows DNR to for a more flexible management. I'm fine to say that they must cooperate with the Whiter tribe and the management, because the Whiter has great expertise in managing natural lands. I'm fine with that. But I think I've been on the record that I think it's important that the amendment we just adopted with the deer hunters addresses my concerns, and my concerns with the Mississippi Headwater Board have been addressed with new language on those. So those two, we have changed and moved to language that I think potentially could be acceptable to the legislature. So that's where I'm at.
Mr. Chair?
Representative or Senator Saxon.
Well, Member Shara's got just about right. Okay. I think I said tweaked. Changed is a little, I consider a little more radical word than maybe tweaked. But that being said, I support the Whiter. I think that a tweak is not what I had in mind having the DNR own it was not what I would consider a tweak. And so, I'd certainly not be in favor of that. I think we reviewed this already once, but last year when this particular part of the Sarge Sam's bill was passed without White Earth, I think we talked about the fact that it didn't come out of the Senate that way, and this was part of a conference committee. We have no idea in this coming year what the process is going to be, or whether a bill like this, as I have proposed and as my motion stated, whether that indeed would come out without that again. You're all aware, and you've all watched the Minnesota legislature, for that matter, any legislative body, work, and sometimes things happen and sometimes they don't. But I stand by my motion and would certainly hope there'd be some reconsideration.
Member Blackburn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And regarding the whole issue of throwing it in the legislator's face when they took it out previously, as Senator Saxock stated, it did make it through one body. It was conference committee that changed things. And I think when you, the comment was made about having them redirect or change the recommendations. Well, changing recommendations here to accommodate something that might happen is exactly doing what you said. It's already altering what we want to do because of something that might happen or might not happen. And so I think that means the legislators are already redirecting. It's just preemptive because we're doing it for them at this level. And that just doesn't make any sense to me. This has gone through two series of ranking procedures, and it's been included in two of them. It did make it through one body last year and changed because of a conference committee. I don't think that means that it's just completely thrown out. This is a package of recommendations that, in my opinion, reflect what we have gone through here as a body ourselves, a recommending body. And not everything's perfect, and I'll be the first to admit I would change plenty of things too, and there's things I have concerns over. But our job here is to produce recommendations and bring them forward to the legislature. And they will do, with every other recommendation that's brought before them, what they need to do their job. I stand with the recommendation to move it forward.
Member Wilkins.
Thank you. this particular project ranked on our initial proposal 14 out of 41. That was all the members ranking. Just an extremely high ranking. It has, from Senator Saxon's list of cost per acre, it is for acquisitions one of the lowest, if not the lowest cost per acre project that we have. After the hearings, 9 people voted to put it into the pack. That's a supermajority. When the chair made his recommendation for funding, he included this project, and we added others that were maybe had 8, maybe even 7. This is the only project that's being considered pulled, from my understanding. We haven't heard from everyone as to why they don't like this package of the 4 vote. This is the only one of them that has received 9. This is one of our lowest cost projects. As far as the legislature is concerned, I agree that maybe some things could be tweaked, as all of these could be tweaked, including food plots. But we all have things in here that we don't like. That's what the nature of compromise is. There are some things in this package that I voted, that I didn't vote for. I said I don't want that project in this package, but I'm willing to vote for it. Because we, all of us, is hopefully smarter than one of us. And I'm willing to go along with that. There's been some other arguments that I find very difficult to swallow. One of them is that the legislature won't pass this. Well, I don't presume to know what the legislature will do. And when you look at all the bodies that make up laws, you have 3 units of government that are responsible for voting on laws. You have the Senate, which people seem to forget about. You have the House, you have the governor. The Senate had it in its bill, and the governor asked for it to be kept in this bill. That's 2 out of 3. So we're making arguments like we shouldn't put it in front of the legislature because the House, but the House is only 1 out of 3 of these units. We don't know what's going to happen. So we can't presume that. Or assume, like I had a supervisor say, don't assume anything. You know what that word means. But I would not be able to support a package that did not include all of the projects that received 9 votes for funding after we did the hearings. It's just simply not fair to remove one. Unless you remove all of them that got 9 votes, I vote for that. You want to start at everything that got 10 votes and above, and we go from there, adding one at a time? Okay, let's do that. But if you're going to remove one project in a category that received 9 votes, you have to remove all the projects that received 9 votes. And remember what happens when you do this. For those of you who hunt and fish, and yes, I hunt and fish, and I love it too, Bill. Remember, this is your choice. You can purchase this property and you can have tribal and non-tribal members hunt it. Everyone can hunt it. Now, maybe the rules and regs are a little different, but everyone can hunt it. But you can remove it, like now, and nobody can hunt it. Think about that. You are, by your action today, telling all the people in the state of Minnesota, you are not welcome on this land. Not just the tribal members, who may eventually, through court, get access to hunt this land regardless, as the Fond du Lac tribe has. But the non-tribal members, if you vote no on this, they're not going to be able to hunt it. They're not going to be able to fish it. They're not going to be able to do wild rice or anything else on it. Because you're not making this public land. So that's your choice. And I was appointed by the governor, and I know the governor supports this. So to me, it's a no-brainer. I cannot vote for a package that doesn't include it. And that means we're not going to get a package if all of us vote the way our particular body that we were appointed by if we go by what they wanted.
Member Kingston.
So I laid out some bait there and nobody really took it, so I guess I'll take my own bait and say, since this is not an all or nothing project, and because I'm a pragmatic person, I hope, and not an ideologue, and if you're an ideologue, you should not be on this council, because all you do is obstruct. I, on the other hand, don't want to be obstructionist towards our ruling bodies, whether it's the House or the Senate or the governor. All three of them voted in the package last year without this project. I would like to hear from White Earth on their parcel list that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I would like to hear a priority order of the parcels that you've included and make it a scalable discussion at this point.
Member Kelly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to James, let me jump in before you go down that road yet a little further. It's occurred to me when I look at our little sheet that got passed out earlier, in this bill, the package we approved, we've approved just slightly more, the purchase of slightly more land in fee, almost 12,000 acres, than we have protecting an easement, which is a little over 11,000 acres. That makes it 12,000 acres that we're going to purchase in fee, open for public hunting, but this 11,000 acres that we're purchasing an easement will not be open for public hunting by and large. You know, that's in fact what happens. If we take this 2,000 acres out, this is 2,000 less acres that we are going to have open in our package for public hunting. And, you know, I frankly want to prioritize how many acres we have open for public hunting. And I would like to see the project stay in. Let me ask Representative McNamara, what if we did some language similar to what you did with the deer hunters, and we inserted the money goes to White Earth in cooperation with the DNR to put together a management plan for making this area open for public use, both band member and non-band member, but make it in cooperation with the Department of Natural Resources rather than just White Earth on their own. And if that is workable, let's hear from White Earth and let's hear from the DNR, see if there's a way of getting there.
Representative McNamara.
I just want to clarify a couple of things. I think two or three different council members have stated that that to make it like I don't want to buy this land. I actually don't want to do what Jane's proposing and only buy part of it. I want to buy it all. That's why I supported the full funding of it, the $2 million. And I believe that it would be better served to be DNR owned. This is state sales tax money. We ran into huge issues when I made the mistake of supporting giving Crow Wing County ownership as a county forest in Crow Wing County. Crow Wing County's going to come out smelling like a rose by selling some property for commercial and by transferring some property that's already on the tax, already tax forfeited. We're going to end up making a three-way exchange, and we're going to do exactly what we said, and they're going to get a trail blowing through a Lessard Sam's project for free. That's all going to happen because we didn't buy it as a state forest. I don't want the same thing to happen again. I want it to be state-owned. I think it's less problematic. The Native Americans will get to hunt this land. Currently, Potlatch can put no trespassing or lease the land out, and nobody can hunt it. Or everybody may hunt it. I don't know. A lot of Potlatch land is hunted by a lot of people, and they don't do anything about it. Some of it they lease. If DNR owns the land, Native Americans will get to hunt it longer than non-Native Americans. That's true. This is in the, right in the ceded territory. They get to hunt differently than non-band members, and that's the law today. And if they manage it, they can manage it different than DNR. And they've acknowledged that with one species, they will manage it different. If there is a species that will not be hunted, if Native Americans own it, if it's allowed to be hunted, that the DNR would allow to hunt it. That's the reality. It's one species today that can be problematic for many of the citizens of Minnesota, and it could be a different species tomorrow, or maybe no species. And I understand the challenge of that, because the gray wolf has a different meaning to many Native American tribes than to myself, and I know that's a challenge. But I think the easy solution to protect the land, if it's really about protecting the land, let the DNR own it as an SRA. And what's the problem with that? I still have to sell that to a caucus that doesn't want to own land in northern Minnesota. And I don't know if I can thread that needle or not, but I'm trying to thread that needle. It does get pill paid. I understand there's a proposal before the Senate where there could be pill paid under this land if future legislation passes. We don't need future legislation. If it's state-owned land, pill will be paid, and the taxpayers of Clearwater County, I believe it is, will be held, or Albert County it might be, whichever county, they would be held basically harmless. I don't know if they make more under pill with this individual land. Sometimes they make more, sometimes less. But I don't want this to be a discussion about not protecting the land and about habitat. It's about who owns the land. I believe it would be better to be state-owned land, and I just worked to make that clear on a different project, but I did not support if some new landowner is going to own it. I think it should be, this is state money, state sales tax money, generally speaking, it should be state-owned land. That's where I'm coming from, and I learned that lesson the hard way, and we're paying for it.
Member Tewitt,
I understand where you're coming from, but at the same time, you know, I want to do right by the White Earth Nation. I mean, though the members of the White Earth Band are citizens of the United States, they're citizens of Minnesota. They pay sales taxes. They have an agreement with the state of Minnesota. They collect sales tax on behalf of the state for sales on the reservations. The voters of the White Earth Band voted to pass the Lessard-Sams Amendment. They pay the sales tax. They pay income tax for earnings off the reservation. They are full-fledged, and some people think maybe more than full-fledged, citizens of our state. Why would we pick out an entity and say they don't deserve to own land, that we don't trust them to own land? That makes no sense to me. That's where I'm coming from.
Mr. Chair, I just need to answer. I need to make very, very clear, this is not about White Earth. If this was the county that this land is in and they were before us and not White Earth, I would be just as opposed if we were proposing it to be county-owned and no pilt to be paid. I made the mistake in Crow Wing County where it was a county to own it. I don't want this to be about Native Americans. I've been in the legislature 14 years and made the mistake for the first 8 of not having enough cooperation with the tribes. I have worked my tail off to work with them and have tried and tried to find a compromise that can work and preserve this land. And that's what I'm trying to do. This is not about me being a bigot or a racist. This is about me being my fiduciary responsibility as a state legislator to protect this land the best way I think we can. And we got taken on Crow Wing County, and I don't want it to happen again. And I'm sorry, I keep saying it, but I got to make sure it's on the record of why I am opposed to this project.
Member Kingston.
But Representative McNamara, you understand the hypocrisy in your statement when you vote for Cass County to get land and for a lot of the other ones that end up in county hands or national wildlife refuges and so forth. So, you know, there is some hypocrisy there that I don't understand. I don't believe you're a bigot. I know you're not a racist, but I don't understand your logic. So let's be logical and explain that. How can you take it out of one pocket and give it to some and not to another? And, you know, our job here, what you're talking about are legislative concerns that I have a ton of respect for. Ton. But what we're doing here, we don't have a proposal from DNR. We don't have a proposal from anybody else. You know, I don't see why we're not treating this project just like all the other ones. I want to be completely fair. I'm not necessarily in favor of funding it 100%. I want to be fair. We don't fund any of the other ones 100%. But there's some hypocrisy in your argument that I can't get over.
If I could, Mr. Chair, just because of it, it's directed at me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Member Kingston, I am trying to thread a needle here. I think there's an alternative to the tribe owning this land and DNR owning it. They own land on three sides. I have said specifically when we can't have the state own it, I prefer that preference. Understandably, we've got a great history with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, so I'm strongly supportive of WPAs. And I understand in specific counties, Cass County, Crow Wing County, there are times when they make the most sense to own county forests. Generally speaking, I have strongly erred on the side of it being state-owned land today and don't want to treat them differently. This clearly has an opportunity for it to be DNR-owned. Truthfully, the most logical owner is the DNR. If you look at a map and look at the land, it makes sense. They're on three sides of it. I mean, the logic of it is there, and if it's about protecting habitat, that happens. And, you know, unless they're directly at me, Mr. Chair, I have said it.
Thank you. Member Sheriff first, and Member Hartwell.
I just wanted to add this. I was surprised to learn not too long ago that the county where this land is located, the county is like 60% public land ownership already. I was also surprised to learn that the legislator in the House that led the charge to remove this project is also a member of the White Earth Band. So I don't know what to make of that. But I think we are jumping to a lot of conclusions, and you know, I don't want to be sitting here and be thought of as a racist either. I'm very much in favor of preserving what we can. But I'll just throw this out too, because we tend to discount. We say it's open to public hunting, but we tend to discount the differences here. I checked on them. If this land is purchased and open to hunting, Minnesota deer hunter would be limited to 9 hunting days. White Earth Band members can hunt the same land for 69 days. A non-band muzzleloader would have a 16-day DNR set muzzleloading season. A band member could hunt with his muzzleloader in that same land for 117 days. I'm not comfortable standing up in front of 500,000 Minnesota deer hunters and use their tax money and tell them they got a good deal here.
Member Hartwell. So let me just, you know, everyone knows I support the projects, but I want to correct what I think are some potential errors in the conversation, and I don't mean that against anybody, but I don't know how else to say it. The Mississippi Northwoods Project, Denny and I would absolutely agree that it isn't turning out the way we intended it to do. But the issue isn't ownership. The issue is we didn't put enough parameters in the agreement to control things from happening that we didn't want to have happen. That was our mistake. It wasn't the ownership issue that was the mistake. It was the issue of us not having the experience that we've had to be smarter about how to put parameters around our grant agreements that I suspect we're not going to do again. I hear you, Jenny, in terms of it would make sense for DNR ownership when you've got three parcels that are owned by the DNR, but we went on a field trip and saw how well multiple ownerships, multiple bodies of ownership can cooperate in a single project and how well that works. And I would be the first to say I don't know enough about the management issues and the priorities of either the DNR or the White Earth Band for the land in this area to be able to be smart enough to say this one ought to be owned by this and this one ought to be owned by that or not. So I'm going to leave it up to them in my mind to work that out. I'm also terribly concerned about a precedent here that says only the state should own land, because the Nature Conservancy has been a great partner of ours on the land. And other NGOs have been great partners, and other non-NGOs, but government groups have been great partners. So, I think of Shell Rock River. We've given money to them to buy them. And those have been good projects. And so the idea that we're concerned about a non-state entity owning property, and that could lead us down the path of only allowing state ownership of property on projects that we do is horribly concerning to me. I don't think we want to go down that path. And the last thing, Ron, on the hunting difference, it doesn't matter who owns the land. That difference that you point out is there. If it's DNR land, that difference is exactly the same. It may not feel right to you, and I accept that and understand it. Other people would say it's right because of other things that have happened. What I know is it really doesn't matter who owns it. That's what we live with in this state. And so the ownership, the hunting issue isn't an ownership issue for us. This is an issue about whether or not we ought to protect this piece of property. And I fully understand that the legislature may decide, if we were to approve this project, that they don't like the project, as they did last time. But I think our job is to recommend the best projects. And we've had the legislature not completely agree with us on other things, but most of which they have. And I don't think it's wrong. It may be frustrating, but I don't think it's wrong for us to say, here's the package that we think is a really good project. Package it. If you want to modify it, we don't have the power to stop you from doing that. The public might, but we don't. We're 12 people. We ought to give them the option they have the option with whatever we do in this package to say, we don't like this project, take it out, or we want to give this project more money and this one less money. We are advisory. But because we're advisory, we ought to do what's right. And I think what's right is to go through our process, make our compromises, and recommend the best package that we can and let the legislature do what they need to do. I won't agree with everything that they do. I don't think anyone in this room would. But it doesn't mean we shouldn't do what we need to do.
Member Case.
Thank you. I'd just like to respond to the, you know, the rights of the hunting being different. And whether we act on this or not, they're there since 1854. I'm not sure how much of the state is covered by those two different treaties, but it's a huge part of the state, regardless of ownership. Whether we do this or not, that exists. And we can't change that. And if you're going to be hanging your hat on hunting and fishing, then you would never vote for an easement program. And I know you vote for easement programs. So there's another area of hypocrisy that I don't understand. You know, I understand the issue, and I think it's really good to talk about it, but I don't think it's sufficient to hold up an entire bill and not have an alternative to do what our job is, which is to come up with a bill today that 9 of us can vote for. If we don't do that, then we're the ones being obstructionists and being stubborn and not doing our job. Then we're a failure as a council if we don't get a bill. We've got to get a bill today, somehow. And just saying no is not, that doesn't fly. That's not fair. There have to be some compromises. And then the legislature has to do what they have to do, and the governor has to do what he has to do. But we need to get a bill out.
Member Olson.
I just want to say that two of the four people who voted no on the package are in the Senate and the House. And if you want to pull this, I recommend that you push this entire package forward and pull it in the legislature where it belongs to be pulled. It is not our job as council members on this council to decide whether or not the legislature gets an opportunity to discuss and hear it. That's the legislature's job. And those of you who are on the legislature can do that in the second step. It doesn't need to be done here.
Senator Andy Britson, Mr. Chair, I don't know, members, if I'm the one that's getting smoked out here or what, but I'm going to make my comments and make them very clear that last year I did vote for this, but it did not make the House. It didn't pass the House. So part of me says, you know, we've got a very short legislative session here. Why would we try and encumber any time to get into that kind of a discussion again? That's one point. The other point is, I don't think, I don't think that this is going to meet constitutional challenges that could come up. That's been brought up, that we are purchasing property and turning it over to a different nation. We're turning it over to a different, basically a different country. Now, yes, Mr. Tilley, you're right. They live and work and been living here longer than I have, obviously. They come and go and whatnot. It's not the same as Canada. There's even reference to that. When are we going to buy some land and give it to Canada? Why don't we just do that? Well, of course we're not going to do that. At least I don't think we will. But remember, Sheriff pointed out the hunting seasons that are very concerning to me. I have to go out there. I don't stand in front of near as many sportsmen as he does probably in a year's time, but I do a lot of them. And I can't stand up there and convince folks that I'm buying land and turning it over to an owner who's not going to allow them to hunt and fish with regulations that they're required to abide by. I just can't do that. I just can't. The point of racism has been brought up. I'm not even going to address that. That just seems to be the button to push nowadays in order to get your way. I'm not going to fall for that. I've raised my hand as many or more times than a lot of people in this room and said that I would uphold the Constitution for everybody that lives in the state of Minnesota. So I'm very offended by that. So I'm not going to even address it. So my stand is still very strong. No. The one way that I would fix it would be what Representative McNamara is talking about, and I would offer such an amendment to turn this over to the DNR. That would be my amendment. That would move the bill along. Representative Member Kingston.
Can't you guys do that in the legislature? If that's what you want, can't you do that in the legislature?
Certainly, we are an advisory role here only. That's been brought up, and we're reminded of that occasionally. But they take an awful lot of what we, you know, when I look at my role as one of the four that carry the bill, that I sign on the bill with Senator Saxog, that I want to be able to carry that bill all the way through. And I have. I've only voted once against it, and that was when we got into the park discussion some years ago, as you remember. I think Representative Kahn was involved in that. And even the governor was on our side on that. But we don't want to keep bringing in bills that, you know, we feel good about doing or whatever just to get rid of them here. I think we got to send them something that they're going to pass.
You know,
and I don't think this is going to happen. I really don't.
I'm not fighting for something I feel good about. I'm voting for something I feel great about.
Great,
I think what we do is great. And 95% of what we do every year is great. And with this project, it would be. And, you know, I think you're abdicating your responsibility by not getting a bill out of here. I know you have a greater responsibility outside these doors, but not today. And I keep losing my train of thought. Because, it's a wordy discussion. But how do you walk away from your responsibility to get a bill out of here? Bill?
That was a good one.
I mean, I want to keep it positive. I want to keep this. I think that it's our conversations have devolved at times, which are not helpful to anybody. But the right to hunt by Native tribes is not going to be changed by what we do here or what you do at the legislature. They have a right, and so that is moot. Who opposed it last year in the legislature, whether he's a member of what or something else, that's moot. That doesn't have any bearing to what we do here. What we have to do is get a bill that everybody can live with and that is subject to change by the legislature. And they'll do. You guys will do it. I know you're not afraid to do it. You've done it before and you'll do it again. But I don't think that this is, by having a freeze out of the four of you, I don't think that that's due. I think that's the worst. I think it's the worst avoidance of your responsibility in this room that you can do. Come up with something that we can all live with and understand the process is the process here and later. And I know I sympathize. You have a short session. I know you have a lot bigger fish to fry. I know that. And it's with complete respect that I say this to you guys. But I think you need to respect what we are supposed to do here today. And if we can't come up with a bill, then we shouldn't have a council. Or you shouldn't be on the council. If you can't work to something, to some point of compromise, you have to work towards a compromise. Something that we can live with. And that is subject to change.
So, Member Blackburn first, then Member Scherer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to point out that, or maybe it's a bit of a story, I used to work at Mille Lacs Cacao State Park, which is right next to the Mille Lacs Reservation. And when I worked at the state park, I was a park naturalist, and we had, because it's ceded territory, there was also different hunting timelines and different periods where they were, we had to close off trails in order for folks to not be in the ceded territory area of the park because it was already open for hunting for the tribal members. And so that was always kind of a difficult thing to explain to people. But it's our state taxpayer dollars that is paid for the parkland in those areas as well that already have a different season. So it's not like it's unprecedented. This is taxpayer dollars as well, and it's a tax increase that was voted on for a lot of different things and not just hunting. But there is habitat here, and there is a stream here, and it's not just about the hunting season. I just want to point out, the state spends taxpayer monies to purchase lands next to tribal lands that already have a different hunting season.
Member Scherer.
Chairman Anderson, Jane, I think we've heard a compromise from Representative McNamara, but there's been no action on it. And if you're looking for a compromise, I would hope maybe you would suggest one.
You guys crack me up.
Well, did you suggest?
It's all in your court. I don't hear the DNR pounding the door down to take over this project. We asked them that last time. They said they have no interest in it. That's what I heard on the record. If there's something different, let's hear it.
Well, I'm not privy to that, but I understand from Representative McNamara that it's been a tick. Not true. Okay. And maybe they don't want it.
Well, okay, so, if we want to stay here for a little bit longer and keep talking about it in the effort of trying to reach some kind of compromise, I'll reiterate what I asked before in scaling the project. All or nothing, huh?
Or nothing. Or nothing.
Mr. Chair, I move we adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign.
No.
Division. All those in favor of adjourning, signify by raising your right hand. Those opposed, raise your right hand. Motion loses.
Mr. Chair.
Member Kelly.
Representative McNamara, I talked a little earlier about language changes. What if the wider band were able to, we require them to develop this with a management plan with the DNR? And that management plan would have to be agreed by both the White Earth Nation and the DNR on how the area is to be managed. They can negotiate seasons. They can negotiate access. They can negotiate trails. They can negotiate logging. Give them a chance. Maybe they can come up with a deal.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Member Tilley, my discussions with the tribe, and I don't want to speak for them, is they're not interested in having the seasons be different on this land. And I would never propose anything to do with the Great Wall because that has very special standing with the nation. I would hope that if DNR was to own it, that they would, and this is contrary to DNR policy, that maybe they would be the open to the idea of not hunting the gray wolf on this property. I know DNR doesn't want to do that, but I think that that might be something that, but this is unbelievably tough issue, and it's not a simple one. I told Member Shara earlier, I believe in my heart that of the 40-some billion dollars the state spends in a budget cycle, that this $111 million that we spend each year is some of the best money the state spends. And the reality is the projects that we're funding are $111 million a trip of projects, and the next $111 million are great projects. And this project, from a habitat standpoint, is a cool project. So this is tough, and that's why I supported Senator Saxoff. I think a deep breath and the thought that we're not required to make a recommendation on December 3rd. I don't have a solution other than the one I've already offered. It seems like that I would have hoped that my suggestion would get 12 votes and we would move on. I can use the same argument. You can come back to fight another fight with the legislature and convince the legislature and Governor Dayton to change it to White Earth owned from DNR. That option is clearly available, but that's, that's not where I'm at. Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, what if we made the allocation contingent upon a mutually agreeable management plan between the White Earth Nation and the Department of Natural Resources so that, you know, all of our projects have contracts. If they don't meet the contractual items, then the grant is not awarded. If the White Earth Nation and the Department of Natural Resources can come to a management agreement, doesn't that solve all of our problems?
Could we hear from her?
I mean, we don't have to have them agree to that now. This sets the table for them to make an agreement. If they make an agreement, the grant is given and the project comes forward. If they can't make an agreement, then we're at where you want to be. Or, well, not where you want to be, but where we at are without a project. So it doesn't mean we have to be the gatekeeper here. We can have the professionals from the White Earth Nation, we can have the professionals from the Department of Natural Resources come up with a management plan. The money doesn't go until they agree.
Representative McNamara.
You know, Mr. Chair, I guess the one other proposal I would want to put forward, and this is an ugly proposal in a lot of respects, would be that we move the recommendation without this project in it. I'm not comfortable with doing that. I would rather have the project plan be protected at the end of the hill. But it's the only one that can be tested. We could move it without that money, leave that money on the bottom line, and leave it up to the legislature to decide if and when it funds it. I think Senator Saxon offered a great suggestion that we recess and I don't want us to go downhill from here, and I'm concerned that the next hour.
What I'm suggesting is that if it'll be up to the White Earth Nation and the Department of Natural Resources to sell the deal to the legislature. The door is open for the project to happen. If they can reach an agreement, then they have to sell it. And the legislature will be, as they always are, the ultimate decider. But it allows everything to move forward right now. We don't have to say yes. We don't have to say no. We, in the case of this project, we say maybe. Falls in your court. Come up with a deal. We've got not a lot to lose.
Amber Kingston.
Would White Earth be willing to comment on that proposal? Could we hear if you would be willing to engage in such a discussion?
Thank you for the opportunity to address that question. And I'm Chris Knopf. I'm with a nonprofit, the Indian Land Tenure Foundation, that works on Indian land issues, and I've been working with White Earth Nation for over 2 years now on this project. You know, I want to begin by first thanking all of you for your thoughtful discussion and all these difficult issues to address. So I really appreciate that opportunity. And to address the question specifically here, you know, if it's to develop a management plan, you know, statutorily it has to be in accordance with the accomplishment plan, that would be acceptable. You know, that would be something to work on, something that that works for the state of Minnesota. I mean, I agree with Representative McNamara's position that this is a great project for conservation, and that White Earth Nation has the expertise to manage the property, having owned and managed 63,000 acres already. And I also agree with the comments that bringing in new partners into conservation is very important. And I think, you know, bringing in White Earth Nation as a partner in this program would achieve that objective as well. So, you know, I welcome, you know, that opportunity to develop a management plan in accordance with the accomplishment plan. That would be the statutory framework where, you know, how our practice proceeds.
Can you tell me of any land that most recently was either purchased or given to the White Earth band that see, where am I going with this? Where you have to, and you're required to pay in lieu of taxes. Would you be required, if the band were to own it, be required to pay in lieu of taxes for that property? And have you done that? And is there any properties that you do have that you do not pay in lieu of taxes? In other words, whoever pays the taxes.
Sure. Yeah. You know, but, Lorraine, address the tax question.
For the record, Lorraine Vogt, the land acquisition manager for White Earth Nation and our Natural Resources Department. And actually, that's a good question. We own fee lands, and we do pay taxes on fee lands as well. But in the PILT, we are not required to do anything in that respect. But we do own lands in certain types of ownership. I mean, it's varied. A majority is trust land, though. So I hope that answers your question.
You do. I think you answered it. You don't have to pay the PILT. Do you pay PILT?
No.
I mean, you can still certainly be a willing...
We are not required to
pay
PILT.
Okay. Senator Saxon.
Senator Roth, this is a question for council, but can we pass this on without recommendation?
A bill without
item.
No, without recommending anything.
Oh, it's not recommending anything. Mr. Chairman, the statute says 9 affirmative votes. I would count that as recommending. But you can do it however you want. I mean, we do that in committee once in a while where you pass it out without recommending. Yeah. But I think where it says 9 affirmative votes, that sounds like that there'd be 9 people in accord with the language in the bill.
Member Blackburn and then Senator Dooley.
I just have a question, I guess, for Senator Sackstock and those that voted to adjourn. I'm just trying to figure, and also the comment about maybe things could go downhill from here. If we were to adjourn, what would need to happen between now and the next meeting in order to resolve this? Because all it would be is postponing the discussion. So I'm just wondering if anybody had any plans to try to mediate, negotiate, or address this issue. Because if so, I'd like to know what that is. That would be helpful.
Senator Sackstock, Representative Willie.
He can answer the question.
Okay, answer the question.
Oh, well, Mr. Chair Member Julie
Blackburn.
I think that I didn't say it and I didn't have to explain myself, but my motion to adjourn would basically hinge around the fact that we'd come back in January, that there would be some work done prior to this, and hopefully we'd come up with some ideas, you know, and it would be easier than all of us sitting around the table here. So,
Senator Sackstock, I think that's a great idea. I just wanted to know that there was actually something besides just walking away and folks working on this, and is that?
Yeah. Well, and I would hope so.
Intentional.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't want to just be, you know, pushing it off the calendar.
Sure. And Mr. Chair and Member Blackburn, I do think that we have to come to a conclusion. Otherwise, it just goes to the legislature, and the legislature's going to take it in one of its committees and make all the decisions for us, which I don't think anybody here wants anywhere to come close to that. That being said, you know, we have January and February, and I wouldn't recommend putting anything off that long. But those still are meetings, and all those recommendations can be made.
January 15th is our deadline. By statute.
Well,
by statute, yeah. That's the issue.
Well, I'm not even sure if that, you know, maybe it's is that constitutional?
That's statutory.
Yeah, well,
so what's going to change between now and then that shouldn't be on the record?
I don't know. I really don't. I'm at a loss right now.
Representative Louie's asked for the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess you know, we all kind of know where everybody's at on this one item, but then at the same time, I really have great sympathy for the rest of the package. I mean, they've got to start visualizing what they're going to do with this money and get going with it. And so if we just put off our decision, although technically the legislature has to act, and I get all that, but, you know, you're just kind of in limbo, you know. Right now I'm in the process of buying a new home, but, you know, you're thinking of down the things you're going to need, and you're planning and strategizing, and, you know, what projects I need to do on the one I have, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It's quite small compared to all this, but so I think, I think we've had a great discussion, and I think it's pretty clear, you know, I'm sympathetic to, I mean, the Senate was clear, the governor was clear, and I am sympathetic to the challenge before my House colleague, but I would just encourage one of the four, perhaps, just to pass it on, the whole package today, which is a compromise, and I get that, and I'm sorry for that, but I think it would show great leadership, but
The legislature is not naive. They're going to know that, I mean, in both ways, we're both, this body's going to know that there's trouble, concern, and certainly the, you know, the legislature is. So I would just like us to consider voting again on the motion on the package and just see where it went. And I think the legislature is, you know, they're going to know where it's at and where we can work on it. If there is compromise somewhere to be had, I certainly hope there is, that is workable. If not, I personally think this is a good project, but I'm sympathetic to trying to put a deal together. I wish we'd move forward, I guess, as today, and I think it's important for people planning their lives and their projects as they work ahead.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to ask our white earth guests here. I fully understand treaty rights and your rights to have your own hunting and fishing seasons, etc. I don't argue with any of that. But in this case, I'll speak for myself. I'm being asked to buy land for you, knowing full well that the playing field won't be even, that I mentioned went through some of these seasons. Now, for some folks here who don't hunt deer, it's not important to them. But I happen to know there's a lot of people out there this would be very important to. Would you ever consider that any land purchased by Lessard Sam's money or legacy of money, that land would have identical seasons for either you set them and non-band members can hunt the same ones, or you match DNR seasons on that particular piece of property and you can exercise your treaty rights anywhere else, of course. Is that a possibility?
Yes. Thank you, Ron, for that thought. You know, I have sort of two thoughts related to that. I think the property's in zones 297 and 298, and part of the issue is how many hunters you have there. You know, I think you have roughly 9,500 non-tribal hunters in those zones and less than 2,000 tribal hunters. You know, part of those limits are based on sort of the impact on the resource. You know, that, you know, because kind of where wildlife biologists kind of determine what the resource can handle. I mean, one the second thought would be, you know, on these properties that perhaps DNR can make increase the season on the property to match whiters, so that on these properties, you know, non-tribal hunters would have the opportunity to hunt a season that coincides with whiters, you know, so to make it to expand the hunting opportunity that way.
May I follow up with Mr. Scherer's thought there and ask, in managing the lands that the White Earth has and knowing what how the game species are doing, have they ever altered their seasons? They have less hunting because there was a decline in a given species?
Chairman Anderson, you know, I don't have the specific history related to that, but when I spoke with the wildlife biologist, you know, we talk about the tough winters as having the big impact on the resource, and they do respond in accordance to what the resource can handle. Marina, perhaps you could shed any other light on that?
Actually, I would have said something.
Okay, yeah.
He's a wildlife manager, and he will adjust the season in accordance with the resources. And that's his job, to manage the resources. Make sure that there's enough for years to come. So
then I guess my follow-up question would be, would the waiter be willing to have the same season, which is less than what they're entitled to under treaty rights, would they be willing to have on that land the same period of hunting that the DNR has for lands that are surrounding that?
No. We're not in a position to speak for tribal council decisions at the table here, but you know, I would propose that we would have the seasons for non-tribal hunters to coincide with those of tribal hunters on these properties. That in effect would be expanding the hunting season.
We're recommending to purchase land with monies that are contributed by all of the citizens of Minnesota. And I guess I'm asking if White Earth would be willing to have the same hunting season on that land that everyone else has.
Mr. Chair, as Chris had stated, it's hard for us to speak for the county and the tribal council. That's something we can bring to them and have them comment upon.
I would certainly like that. I'd like to understand what, you know, how they would respond to that. Thank you. Member Hartwell.
I may be wrong, but I think we just heard an offer from White Earth to manage the resource on that piece of property consistent with the results of a combined hunting season for both band members and non-band members, so that if the take becomes too great, there'd have to be some modification on their part. To me, that sounds like a compromise. They're willing to in essence, work with the DNR to create a special hunting zone to have the DNR match the season and take limits of the tribe for that piece of property.
Sort of like the special zone at Camp Ripley.
Sort of like that. So with that, I'd like to move the package with an amendment to this project that allows what I just said to take place. I need, you know, maybe you can help me with the language a little bit, but in essence, to encourage the DNR to create a special hunting zone on this parcel of property to match the limits that are allowed under tribal law or tribal rights.
So that's a motion
to accept the package with a change to this particular project. An additional condition on this particular project.
Discussion. Senator Saxon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And David, with that, how would that treat wolf hunting?
My understanding from the application is wolf hunting would be excluded for everyone.
All right.
What we're talking about is that the DNR would match the tribal regulations for hunting for all people utilizing this piece of property.
Member Blacker.
I just have a procedural question. Does any amendment to the package also require a supermajority or...
Well, the final package, yes.
I'm recommending the entire package with that amendment.
With that amendment. Okay, so amendments don't, but the package again.
That's
okay.
Right. So I'm just, rather than just do one, we might as well do all.
And fish.
And fish. All regulations for the taking of game. I'm fine with that. The taking of game and harvesting of... You want to just limit it to wild rice or... It could be maple syrup. I don't care.
Is Executive Director wants to be sure that he has correct here from the attorney to the market.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of questions, if I may.
Sure.
Mr. Hartwell, hunting, trapping, and gathering, would that encompass what you're thinking?
And fishing.
Okay. Hunting, fishing.
Taking is hunting and trapping.
Hunting, fishing. I'll put it down this way so I get it in my head. Hunting, fishing, trapping, and gathering. Okay, because gathering would include, I would presume, wild rice as well as mushrooms or whatever else it might be. And then, if I may reiterate what I've written down, you are moving the package with the amendment that the White Earth Band and DNR create a special single hunting zone on this property that is based upon White Earth Band's tribal hunting, fishing, trapping, gathering seasons and limits.
That works.
That's pretty close.
Senator Ebert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So my question to you is, are you able to do that? Do you have the authority to do that today without having a meeting with the tribal officials? And my second question is, and I don't know this, this isn't a gotcha question, but I'm asking you about the moose hunt. Did the White Earth, did they stop the moose hunt as the state of Minnesota did because of the population decrease we just had most recently? Were they part of that? Can you tell me that? I don't know that.
With respect to your first question, you know, it's really DNR's call in a lot of ways to expand the hunting season to coincide with those for White Earth Nation. So that's sort of, you know, in a way that would be something that would be consistent with what's out there. And with respect to the moose hunt, I cannot speak for this.
I'm
wondering.
So the DNR comes up with the matching zones that member Shira talked about, I don't know, what was 169 days of muzzle loading season, and if they come with that proposal, that's going to be an automatic then with the ban?
Yeah, the ban could offer its recommendations, but it doesn't have the authority to prohibit them.
I would really like to have the White Earth consider the more restrictive season on that land, as I spoke to earlier, and ask if the council would consider that.
Mr. Chair, with that being said, I find it a hard sell to convince the council or its members to deny them of their treaty rights.
This is just another question, Mr. Chair. So I don't know if the DNR is here to answer this or not, but what kind of an issue is that going to bring to that particular parcel of land? Are we going to have a lot of people that are going to want to be on there 117 days with muzzle loaders? I mean, what kind of a problem is that going to create? Should we do this? I'm just kind of thinking on the run here. And what will be the take? I guess they'd regulate the numbers. I'm very heartwarming.
I think, Bill, it's a legitimate question, but on the other hand, the tribes would have the right to limit the season on this piece of property for their own members and therefore for non-members, should they choose. We're not mandating that they keep the hunting season open for a long time, but if they do it for tribal members, they're going to do it for non-tribal members. They can choose, I would assume, to take a specific piece of property and limit how much gathering of wild rice there is. We're not taking that right away. We're simply saying it's going to be equal for everyone if you want to do that.
Senator Sackbaum, you had asked.
I thank you, Mr. Chair, and I can't remember what I was.
Member Blackburn.
get the same problem.
You know, when I think about all of the hunting seasons going along with the larger, the longer season, I think about overharvesting. I realize you have management. Well, you're talking about a much different management. And I think, you know, I much prefer that the co-manage plan of DNR with the tribe is definitely what I prefer. I mean, there's a lot of issues on the DNR side, I would imagine, as well. I don't know. I haven't talked to them about that. But, you know, they issue, you know, the tags, the permits, all of those kinds of things that they have to do their own enforcement, their own conservation officers. It's managed on three sides already by DNR land. I think that would be a management nightmare, quite frankly. It, you know, if I was thinking about how I would manage it, that zone would be different. I think that the co-management plan, co-developed management plan, would be a much better arrangement. Because I have a moment here of the microphone, I would just like to say that for me it's just incredibly frustrating. This project, although I think it's a very important project, isn't the highest on my priority. And it seems like everybody knew that this was going to be an issue, and the fact that there isn't a resolution at all, or there hasn't been a compromise, and I, you know, I've talked with Representative McNamara. I know he's worked hard on this, and this has come up time and time and time again. And I am frustrated that, despite all of the discussion, there's been literally no movement on anybody's side. And for me, that's just a little troubling. It feels like a little bit of a game of chicken, you know, like, so who's going to do what? If it's that important that the land gets protected, protect the land. And it frustrates me, and that's why I asked the question about what's the difference between now and a month from now, when we've already known for a year that this was going to come up, or 2 years. And here we are, still at the 11th hour, not having any movement on any side.
Mr. Chair and Member Blackburn, it's just like the legislature getting down the last hour. That's the way it goes, Jim.
I'm not a procrastinator.
We have the amendment as the recommendation, and that would be to... Can you read that one more time for us so that we understand?
Yes. Member Hartwell's motion is to, please correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Hartwell, but to move the package with the amendment that the White Earth Band and the DNR create a special single hunting zone on the property in question that is based upon White Earth Band tribal hunting, fishing, trapping, and gathering seasons and limits.
Representative Ackburn.
I just want to say I'm opposed to the amendment. I don't think it's fair to the White Earth Nation to ask them to do something like that. I'm opposed to it. I think this is a right they earned in federal court, and I don't want to see them. It looks like they're giving up part of their right potentially. I think people on this commission are thinking you're going to give in and allow potentially you'll adopt the DNR regulations for all. Well, I think there's some folks here that think that's what you're going to do. Now, I know you're nodding your head no, but I don't want to create the expectation. This has been the hang-up that you want those rights, and that's why I think my solution, the DNR own it, they get their long hunting seasons, and I don't mean they derogatory. It looked like I did. I apologize for that. They've earned that in federal court. That's a determination. Some may like it, some may not. I don't really care. They've earned that, and I think the solution, I don't think we should be doing that. I think that's wrong. I'm going to be opposed to the motion.
Mr. Chair.
Member Dewey.
Representative McNamara, I think you got the backwards. What Member Hartwell was proposing is that the DNR create a special zone on this project area that the rest of the state of Minnesota enjoys the same hunting, fishing, and gathering rights that the White Earth Band does. And those seasons, bag limits, are determined by the professional game managers. They may
both change, but for this particular area.
And Mr. Chair and Member Tilly, I think there's an expectation that DNR will convince the White Earth Nation to adopt our rules on this land. And I think that's wrong. They earn the right, whether we like it or not, to 117 days with a muzzleloader. That's the law by the federal court, by, if I'm not mistaken, the U.S. Supreme Court. I don't think we should be trying to fool around and skirt it. This is a tough issue. But I think we're playing games with them, and I think Senator Saxhaug had the right idea. We all need to take a deep breath. The only solution here that I could ever see, if you really want to get out of here today with passing it, is we pass to buy the land and we don't identify who's going to own it and let it up to the legislature. But pretending we have a solution to make them abide by it, they're not going to do it. I'm sorry again for pointing that way. They earned that in federal court, and I've already begged them to give it up. They won't do it, and I respect that. That's why we're in the quandary, or whatever the right word is. We're stuck here where we're at.
But Member Hartwell proposed this as a condition to the grant. The grant doesn't occur unless that special zone being created by the DNR for the remainder of the state is adopted.
Representative Lilly.
Representative McNamara, I'm not sure anybody's asking. I think Mr. Tilly has it correct. I think you got it. I don't think the DNR is doing what you're, or we're asking the DNR. I don't think we're doing what you're saying, sir. I think you've got it up the wrong direction.
I guess my question would be, if the White Earth
just not going to buy it,
nation owns the land, can the DNR constitutionally set a season on that land that's different?
Sure.
I don't know.
They set seasons all the time.
Yeah, but this, I'm saying about the DNR setting a special season on that land. I don't know that the DNR has that right.
If it's a condition of the contract.
There are researchers.
Mr. Chair, I mean, Representative Lilly, as you know, I mean, we set seasons for birds, deer, and other animals in the state, and the same applies to federal lands. And so we set seasons on federal lands and on other ownership. Cap Ripley, of course, is different, different seasons. So, I don't think that there would be an issue with establishing. We establish seasons for non-band members. The band establishes seasons for band members, as long as the season the commissioner sets are for non-band members. If the question would be, I don't think the commissioner couldn't set seasons for band members on within the reservation. That's the real issue here. This is within the reservation. It's just like now that the wildlife management area that Representative McNamara is talking about, the band members already can hunt extended seasons on state lands in that area. So this land would be no different than those lands.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Knopp, I didn't think I'd ever disagree with you. You got the institutional knowledge that everybody relies upon, but we're talking about a different nation here. We're not talking about the United States. We're not talking about the state of Minnesota. We're talking about a different nation. And I have to agree with the Representative McNamara in that I don't really want to put them in that position to have to do that, the White Earth. I'm just not sure that, number one, I don't think we have the authority to do that as an advisory council to start with. I don't see, maybe we should reverse the rule. Somebody suggested that set it off to the legislature and let them fix it. Why don't we set it off with the $2.1 million on the bottom line until the legislature come up with a bill that we like and add it to the legacy funding? Why not do that? Why not put it to the bottom and give them all of our strong recommendations and all our points? Give it to myself and Senator Saxhaug or one of us, and we'll put a bill in for $2.1 million. Once we get those other issues resolved, if they can even be resolved. I'm wrong.
He's telling me I'm wrong, so I'm gonna run with that. I've been around Greg for a long time.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to clarify something too. If I think the plan is if Whitus acquires this land, that it become trust land, which means the federal government holds title to it. And they also, I think that terminology is more dependent sovereigns or dependent nations. I mean, they're still subject to the federal government, just like the states are. They're really more like another state, not another country, in the way the federal government treats them.
Senator Sackfire.
Well, you know, I think that this has got some merit, basically, because what we're talking about here is the ownership of the land. You know, that's what we're talking about, that the band is going to get. Then we're talking about these rights, which, as Member Tilley said, are would be part of the contract. I think it's important, though, for Representative McNamara to remember is that the band council's got to approve this. Anything that we cook up here today, the band council has got to approve it. You know, I mean, it isn't like we're going to all of a sudden send this on its jolly way to the legislature, having, you know, not, I won't say compromise rights, but at least talking about different things and not hear from them somewhere along the line before it gets to the legislature.
Thank you for the question. Roll call.
Read the motion again. Motion is to move the package with the amendment that the White Earth Band and the DNR create a special single hunting zone on this property. This is based upon White Earth Band tribal hunting, fishing, trapping, gathering seasons and limits.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. Bring
the word. Does it? Tried this year hunt waterfall for more than 60 days?
You know, in materials provided in September, there's that side-by-side comparison. You know, we could go through that that chart, Representative McNamara. It has...
No, my question centers around the fact that the state of Minnesota doesn't set the waterfall seasons. We set everything but waterfall. Does the tribe currently allow to hunt? We clearly can't do this if you hunt waterfall for more than 60 days. You hunt waterfall... Do the Native Americans, are they allowed to hunt waterfall and ceded territory for more than 60 days? I don't think this motion's in order if the answer is yes.
You know, and on the appendix 1 to the material provided in September, that side-by-side comparison, we could take a look at what we have here. You know, on page 3 of that, the DNR seasons for ducks, it obviously varies north, central, and south, but in the north area, it's September 26th to November 24th. And then for White Earth, it's September 12th to December 18th.
Yeah, I want to put on the record that we don't set that. The federal government sets that, so we can't require the waterfall on you to be the same as the state of Minnesota. Okay.
Mr. Chair? Where were those start dates?
September 12th and September 26th.
Oh, okay. I was going to say the end didn't make any difference because they're all...
Yeah, yeah.
You're right there, Tim.
Maybe where you come from.
Member Hart,
living up in Annabelle, Minnesota.
If we can get this passed, would the tribe consider... for a waterfowl, because it is a federal set, not a state set season. If the information is correct, and I have no reason to doubt that it is, to limit the waterfowl season to the federal standard to get this passed.
You know, we don't have the authority to speak for that, Mr. Hartwell, at this time. Maureen, do you have some thoughts? I mean, you understand tribal council better than anyone on these issues.
I actually wouldn't concur with you. So I do not have the authority to manipulate or change our limits and seasons.
Roll call.
Member Chair, excuse me, question.
I'm just clarification. I truly appreciate the effort here to level the playing field. It's a very important item to me because Lessard Sam's purchases are not normal, are not the usual here. But so as I understand it, White Earth Band would set their seasons and DNR would match those. Or they can discuss it among themselves and come up with a matching season that would apply to both the band members and non-band members. Is that everybody's understanding?
Yeah.
I like it.
It's going to be very difficult to enforce.
I'm sorry, I was speaking out loud, and I meant to be really speaking out loud. The difference exists regardless, so that really, I think this process is to be commended, and everybody's patience is to be commended. I think you're on to something that looks forward to the future, to where the land becomes more important, because what I'm hearing is that everybody wants this land to be protected, and the habitat, which of course is the constitutional language, is farmable, and that we're putting aside some of these other things and making sure that we can work through those other things in an orderly manner so that we can work together. And the future looks much brighter that way, because now we have something to look forward to, that people are actually working together. I thank everyone for working through this process.
Member Blackburn.
Thanks, and I'm glad that Council Member Wilkins has patience. For me, I just get more frustrated again because it's the 11th hour, and I continue to be kind of a bit confused or possibly amazed that with all the discussion about hunting seasons and the difference between the hunting seasons, that you have not been given any guidance or possibly not sought guidance from your tribal council on what would be acceptable. This has been known for a long time about this, and still there's no guidance at all. We're working hard here to try to figure out something that accommodates and that is acceptable, and I'm frustrated that makes it seem to me a little bit one-sided. And I think that the intentions is to try to make something work, and that there is that accommodation right now. And I guess it's just a comment that I would feel at this point in the game you would have a little bit more information about what is acceptable or not acceptable.
Roll call vote.
Ms. Blackburn.
Aye.
Mr. Hartwell.
In favor.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
No.
Ms. Kingston.
Aye.
Representative Lilly.
Aye.
Representative McNamara.
No.
Ms. Olson.
Yes.
Senator Saxon.
Yes.
Mr. Shara.
We voting on the amendment here?
We're yes. Voting on the package with the amendment.
No,
because there is no package on the floor. I've moved the entire package with this amendment.
Actually, it's my motion from before.
So it's friendly amendment.
Yeah.
Do you want to change your vote?
No.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Tilley.
Yes.
Ms. Wilkins.
Yes.
Chair Anderson.
No.
That's 9 members voting yes, 3 members voting no.
We have a recommendation. Once we get the approval of the council.
I think it's just getting this out.
Next meeting is scheduled for January. January 7th is Thursday at 8 a.m. I wish you all a blessed Christmas and better things in the new year. Thank you. Is anyone in the public care to address the council?